Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for bringing us into your presence. We thank you for what you have in store for us, O Lord. Father, we ask, Lord, that you download upon us today, Lord, your spirit. Lord, let us speak, Lord, like the oracle of God. We pray for our pastor. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you empower him, Lord, that you will help him, Lord, on the job right now. Father, we pray, Lord, that the illumination of the Holy Spirit will be upon their minds, O Lord, to be able to figure out and resolve every issue on their job in the name of Jesus. I thank God for everyone that is here. Lord, whatever we have come in here to do, O Lord, is just to listen to your word, to share one with another, Lord, and to lift up your name. Father, be present with us, O Lord. You have always promised that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. We know you are here to hear us, to fellowship with us, and Lord, and to listen and bless us, Lord. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Welcome again, everyone. And good morning, good afternoon to those in the afternoon section. I will be doing sharing this morning. Our pastor was in the... They had an issue on their job. They've been working on since yesterday and today. And in fact, they worked throughout the night. He has not slept and they are still on the issue. So with that being said, we are going to be sharing today. I know there was a sister that was said, I think it was Sister Patricia, I thought, or Sister Petey, I wasn't sure, yesterday that said they wanted to share. So today is going to be a review session for all the things that we have been learning. We want to review them. We want to contribute. We want to take your shares. If you have something to say, you can go ahead and let us know, please, that you can put up a sign on your avatar that you want to share something. Like, let me show you this kind of sign that I would put on, let's say, like this one, like, oh, I want to share. You can put that on, then we know that you want to share something with us today being a review. All right, Sister Patricia, did you say you wanted to share? I sent you a message yesterday, today. Did you see my message? I wasn't sure whether it was you or Sister Petey that said, oh, I wanted to share something yesterday. Hello? Oh. I can hear.
Right? So it must have been someone else, but I am always willing to share when it comes to the room. I love snacks.
Oh. I think your volume is so low. Can people hear? Is it me?
Can you hear me now?
Okay, that's better. That's better.
I shared yesterday. Okay. But something, we are to be ready in season and out of season.
Okay.
And I love this room, and I'm going to share with this room. And, but if someone said that they wanted to speak, I'm going to let them have the floor first. And then I'll flow in as the Holy Spirit leads. Amen.
Amen. All right. Sister Julia, you can go. Praise the Lord.
No, good morning, ma'am. Good morning, everybody in the room. Good afternoon. No, I was just saying, yes, I could hear Sister Patricia now. We couldn't hear her before.
Oh, okay.
My thumbs up was for her.
All right. No problem. All right. Sister Patricia, that's what it is. Just a thumbs up. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, well, let me share something with us in Matthew chapter 8. Praise the Lord. Then, after that, someone has, if I have anything else to share, I just wanted to share on, the posture of our prayer, when we pray for something. We see in this, in the story or whatever it is, in the Matthew chapter 8, the different healings that took place and the posture of those people that got healed. the kind of faith that they have. And Jesus notices, he noticed their faith. He noticed the level of their faith. And the first one was the leper that came to the Lord, and he said, without asking if he will help him to be clean. And Jesus said, and put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So we saw the faith of this leper was in a very high point where he could receive his healing right away when he was touched. And he said, I will. And then immediately the leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus told him what to do. He said, see that you tell no man, go thy way, show yourself to the priest and offer gift that Moses commanded you for a testimony unto them. So the first, that was the first miracle in that Matthew chapter 8, showing that, you know, this man, you know, was eager to be healed. Then the next healing that took place, you know, was he went to Capernaum, then he took to a centurion, the centurion faith. I love that. I saw that in his sister this last week. The centurion came beseeching him and saying, Lord, you know, my servant lie at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Jesus wanted to go and heal this person in the house, but the centurion said, no, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I said to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do, and they do it. So he recognized the authority that Jesus has, that he can speak, you know, this, the power of the spoken word. So when Jesus had this, he marveled. He was moved and said, them that followed, he said, I've never found so great faith in Israel, not in Israel. So he said unto him, that man that come from the east shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac, you know, and Jacob. And, you know, then he began to chastise, you know, his people, the people around them, the children of the kingdom. So the children of the kingdom, which is people that are claiming to be believers, that know the kingdom, that are in the kingdom, said so they would shall cast out in the outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So they will come because of this testimony of this man, that people will come. Many shall come from the east and from the west. They will have faith like this centurion and say, speak the word only. You know, even we see that some of this, if you notice, some people that come from the Muslim faith, they have so much faith. They can pull, you know, the hand of God, because they believe literally the word of God. And we of the kingdom will still struggle to believe in these things. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. The many shall come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. It will not be our portion. In Jesus' name, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so it be thee done unto thee. And his servant was healed the same hour. The same hour that Jesus talked and said, go, and the servant was healed immediately. And I want to use that to talk about our sister here, you know, that her daughter, you know, her only daughter, you know, was sick. And it was a terrible situation. She was in the hospital. And she was, you know, this woman was so moved. And, you know, but one thing that I noticed after the next day, she said, you know what? I know the devil is trying to mess with me, because now I'm now, you know, working in the will of God. I am doing my prayers. I am going to a church. I'm doing this thing. And he just wants to attack me. And that is what this is. Because that thing happened right while she was in the church. So because of that, she recognized immediately what the enemy was trying to do. And she said, you know what? I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to go anywhere, but I know the same God that I serve can do it, whether I go or not. And the Lord honored that at that time that she spoke that. You know, in my spirit, I just felt like, wow, this is a centurion faith. This woman believed that she does not have to even go, that just believe in the Lord, believe in the saving grace that my daughter is healed. And immediately, and the doctors testified that her daughter miraculously, you know, was healed. The pain stopped, everything stopped. So this God that we serve, he looks at our posture of faith. He looks at how do we believe when we're asking him to do something? Do we doubt his faith? Do we doubt his ability to do the work? Or do we believe like this leper, like this centurion, you know, and so many other healings that took place? Like in Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of fever. And he touched her, and the fever left her. She arose and ministered unto them. So we saw so many miracles here that were based on faith, that people are believing. The people of the kingdom could not even believe. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. So what is it that healed you today? He himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. And by his stripes we are healed. And that's what the scripture tells us. So this woman, like I said last week, believed and just spoke the word and said, you know what? My God is able. And the Lord honored that, you know, that faith, and the doctors testify that this is nothing but a miracle. So we just want to thank God for the miracle that was done to that daughter of Zion. Amen. So verse 18, Jesus went, the great multitude about him, he gave commanded to depart unto the other side. Then here so many miracles happened, feeding of the people when they were with so many people were there, and he filled them all. So we saw all this thing. And what is it that is bothering us today that we cannot put under the feet of Jesus? What is it that we cannot have the faith of the centurion to say, speak the word only, Lord, I believe you for your word. You have spoken. Your word is there. So him by himself, by his family, we are healed. So do we have any family member that we are praying for, that we are standing in the gap for? Let us believe that he himself bore our infirmities, and by his stripes we were healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to just pray and lift up anyone that is going through any health issues or any matter whatsoever, that the Lord God Almighty that did that for the centurion is able to do it for us all. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, I just thank you, Lord, for this faith of the centurion. Lord, that you taught us in your word, the faith of the centurion man. Lord, even a man of authority, Lord, that can speak, and everything that he speaks goes because of his status as a chief person in his position. Lord, you are the God of the heaven and the earth. You speak and it is done. You created the heavens and the earth. Is there anything that is too hard that you cannot do? Nothing at all. Therefore, Lord, we commit every situation in this room, everything that we are praying about, every health issues, we believe you, Lord. We believe you. We pray for our brother that is facing vision problem. Lord God Almighty, we pray for him right now. Touch his eyes. Lord, we believe you. Lord, you can, everything that the enemy has thrown at him. Lord, so many poking into that eye. Ah, Lord God, we pray, Lord, that you will touch his vision and you will heal completely. Lord, you are the same yesterday. You heal so many blind eyes. You heal so many sicknesses. Every manner of disease and sickness that was brought before you, you heal them all. Father, thank you, Lord. You looked at this, the posture of the people, and by faith they were healed. Lord, the same way, Lord, we pray that our brother Raphael, Lord's vision be restored completely unto him. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, everyone. I will let Sister Patricia or anybody can go ahead right now. Sister Patricia, over to you.
Praise God. Good morning. I pray that Pastor Yato is all is well with him, and I pray that that he's figuring this out. And I just want to pray for Pastor Yato right now, if I may, if it's all right with you, Lady Eben, that all is well with him.
That's
yes,
that's
yes, ma'am. Let's do it. Praise the Lord.
Let's pray for him right now. Our Father and our God, we just want to lift up our pastor before you. And the job that they are doing right now, Lord, let there be a solution. Father, let there be an answer. Let the illumination of the Almighty, Lord, be upon them right now. Father, let them be able to understand and see and find where they are whatever is missing, Lord. Let them find it in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, for your anointing to be upon them in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, make a way, Lord. Let them be able to have rest. Father, let them make the night for people to sleep. Help them, Lord, to be able to find solution to this issue in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just wanted to make sure that we entered that into the day, because he's the head of this room no matter what goes on in this room, and he needs to be prayed for first because he's in need today. Today, when you were talking about faith, I turned back to where we were, when we were talking on, January the 27th is when we were talking about faith, walking, with little faith, great faith. And today is a place where we should be standing in faith. We woke up by faith this morning. I don't know if anybody really understands it and can receive that, but we woke up this morning by faith. Nothing. We didn't wake up because we deserved it. We didn't wake up this morning because it was anything that we deserved. We woke up because God has an assignment for us, and we are to always be ready in season and out of season. That's what the word of God says. We are to be ready in season and out of season. And for a long time, I didn't know what that meant. I really didn't. I didn't know what being in season or out of season meant, but it's we're to always be in faith. That's what I, when it finally came to me, no matter what, we are to be in faith. We are to be ready to always speak the word of God. The word says we should always be ready to give an answer. Hallelujah. Of love, of security, of God. You know what I'm saying? Because people are listening. People, when I was in the world, let me just say it this way. When I was in the world, people were trying to pull me in. I used to say to them, I'm not ready. When I get myself together, I'm going to come to the Lord. But the Lord says, come as you are. He doesn't care what the worse you off you are, the more he can do with you. You know, and I always believe that sometimes we are so, that we're so heaven bound that we're no earthly good to anybody, not even our families, not even to ourselves. And after a while, when we have a gift, when God has given us a gift sometimes too, we use that gift and then we begin to, people begin to thank us for the gift. And it's not our gift, it's God's gift. And God has given it to us, and we are to use it wisely. We are to use it in season only. And we are to be aware, Father, that when it is needed. And faith is comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So I just want to stay in faith. I woke up in faith. I live faith. Faith is now. There is no, you know, yesterday doesn't exist, and tomorrow shouldn't even be thought of. Today is the faith that I walk in. And I hope it's the faith that everybody in here walks in also. Because if we just believe have the faith of a mustard seed, it could take us so many places that we never even thought we could be. It could take your ministry and just, it could be bigger than some of the, bigger than T.D. Jakes, bigger than some of the people that have fallen. You know why? Because they let go of their faith and begin to hold on to their flesh. So let us not hold on to our flesh when it comes to things. When we succeed at something, let's give God the glory, the honor, and the praise that he so richly deserves that we've done this. We've had let God use us in a way that he gets the glory, that he gets the honor, and he gets the praise. And, you know, let's not be despised when God gives us something little. Because if we can handle something that is little and bring it to perfection to the body of Christ in the name of Jesus, then God can trust us with things that are much bigger. He can trust us with souls that we can take the situation more deeper. So let's not despise the day of the little and believe that God is moving us into something big. And I believe that today. I believe that for the whole room. I believe that God is moving things, people into a new realm of faith. Moving you to the new realm of faith. But we have to believe it. You have to get your scriptures. Stand on those scriptures. No matter what we see. It's not about feelings. It's about believing, knowing that God is God. He doesn't need our help. He doesn't, there's nothing we can do. We can't bargain in. We can't do anything of the sort. We just have to stand, believe, and know that God is God all by himself. That's what faith is to me. Faith is just standing, believing, and waiting and expecting. I remember when my mother-in-law was alive. She used to live not a ways from me, but I used to walk to her house for exercise, to put it that way. But it wasn't more than a mile, but I used to take me and my poodle. I take my poodle everywhere. And we would go to her house, and we were sitting in there, and she always watches the news, or she watches a televangelist. So we're watching the news, and I was talking to her, and all of a sudden she popped up out of the chair, and she opened the door, and she said, "I expect my blessing any minute." She slammed the door shut and wouldn't sit down. I was like, "What was that about?" You know, I laughed to myself, but she just went on. She started talking to me again. So I come back the next day, and I'm talking to her, and she opens the door, and she did the same thing. "I expect my blessing any minute now." She slams the door. I said, now, mom, what was that about? She was like, "The Lord told me to open the door and say that I'm expecting my," I said, "Okay, so you're standing in faith of that." She said, "Yeah." I think it was the third day. I wasn't there that day. She called me on the phone. The third day she said, "You know something, the Lord paid off my car." I said, "What?" She was like, "It was like, yeah." She said, "I had some unexpected money come in, and it was the exact amount to pay off my car." And she said, "Can you, you know, I want you to come down with me and to the car place when I pay off my car." I said, "Sure." So you see what I'm saying? So somehow somebody gave her a seed. Somebody gave her something to believe, something to stand on. Because to me, I just thought I was going to tell the family that, you know, she may be slipping a little bit, but she opened that door and said that. That didn't make sense to me, but it made faith to her. So we have to know that sometimes, you know, what what we do doesn't have to make sense. It has to make faith. It has to make faith. We have to make faith. We can't talk ourselves out of faith. We just can't. I thank God that, you know, the woman with the issue of the blood, as Jesus was coming by, she didn't want to miss her, she didn't want to miss her opportunity. You know, so instead of rushing to him, she touched the hem of his garment. You know, the same thing with the blind man. Hallelujah. When God, or the man with the issue at the pool of Bethesda, and the Lord asked him, do you want to be healed? He went through all these excuses of why he wasn't healed. God didn't ask us that. He asked the man a simple question. Do you want to be healed? And God healed him. The 10 lepers, only one showed up to thank the Lord. Let us stay in faith. Let us live in faith. Let us live in faith. I want to tell you something else that I do by faith. I know this may not seem something, but this is what the Lord gave me, and I have to stand on that. But I haven't checked my bank statement. I guess maybe it's 3 years now. I write checks. I know money goes in and things like that. I don't spend, you know, obscurely. But in 3 years, I've never checked my bank account. I live by faith. I stand in faith with my bank account. That's the truth. And it has never, nothing has ever bounced. And I'm telling you, there was one season I was starting to tilt a little bit. I was like, well, Lord, this is a lot of money going out. But you know something? The Lord has never did me wrong. I'm not going to say, I don't receive that. I don't receive what I'm getting ready to say. So I say all that to say that I love faith. And I've exercised it enough to know that it works. I still don't have heat in my house, but I'm warm. I mean that. It doesn't have to make sense. It has to make faith. And there's somebody here today in this room that is doubting. And I'm telling you, God is able. If you only just hold on to that mustard seed. Let me tell you, I bought a thing of mustard seeds. And when I start to kind of doubt or feel myself doubting, I go to the cabinet and I got one of those mustard seeds and I put it in my pocket. I put it in between my fingers and I just roll it as I begin to meditate on all the good God is going to do. All the faith I have that God is going to bring me through my Red Sea. See, I'm going to cross my Red Sea because God parted it for me and I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. God is going to give me my ram in the bush because I've seen him do it. God is going to bring me to my promised land because I've seen him do it. God can do anything but fail. If we just believe, not just to receive, but believe that he can do it for anyone. And let us also, when God blesses us in faith, let us walk in faith and tell people what God has done in faith. It doesn't have to make sense. Some people may never get it. But you know something? They need to know that God comes how he wants. See, we want God to knock on the front door. And God has been here already. And God is a timely God. I don't know why God just dropped this in my spirit. Be on time. Sometimes this is how we lose our blessings, by not being on time. Be on time, especially for godly things. Be on time for church. Be on time when it's time to pay your tithes. Be on time when the pastor asks you to do something, do it. It doesn't have to make faith. I mean, it doesn't have to make sense. It has to make faith. Sometimes the little things we do, hallelujah, that's what makes big things. Stay in time. Redeem the time wisely in faith. I don't know why God had me say these things, but I'm going to release my mic. I'm sure there's somebody else that has something to say as soon as I find my phone. All right. All right. To God be the glory.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Patricia. That's awesome. Thank you so much. You expatiate on the faith that you were talking about last month, I think. And I like the phrase of your mother-in-law, say, expecting my blessing every day. Wake up and say, I'm expecting my blessing today by faith. And she received so many things. So the Bible also said the just shall live by faith. So thank you for emphasizing that mustard seed faith, that we should just hold on to it. Yeah, if you have great faith, God likes you too. The centurion faith, that's good. So let's testify about what God is doing in our lives. And you emphasize us to be on time. Don't be late for your blessing. Let us not be late for our, let us redeem the time. Let us not be late and let us be ready when God wants to help bless us. Amen. Thank you so much and have a wonderful listening time. Anybody else that would like to, Sister Maggie, go ahead, please.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. In the name of Jesus, I receive an opening of my voice. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good morning, Pastor Yaro. Good morning, Lady Evan. Good morning, everyone. And we thank God for what the Lord is doing in our midst. The Lord is wonderful. He cares so much for us, feeding us every day. In fact, that scripture that says, excuse me, that the Lord daily loaded us with benefits. That's what I'm experiencing on this platform. I know some days I may not be able to come. Some days I come, and some days I have to be awoken by the songs that the Lord gives us on this platform. To God be the glory. And we thank God for all that we have had this morning. And the prayer of faith that we have prayed for whatever is going on in Pastor Yaro's place of work. We receive the manifestation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this morning, I just want to share a little thing that the Lord dropped in my spirit. And I've been, like we used to say, I've been chewing on since the Lord brought it to my spirit. Just a little thing. And that happened on the 18th. Of this month, when Pastor was talking about principles of the kingdom and the belief systems, and Pastor was talking about the old wine, the new wine, the old bottle, and so on. So as Pastor was speaking, he opened, I think he was talking about from John chapter 11. When he got there, he was talking from the issue that happened concerning Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And he was speaking from, excuse me, he was speaking from John 11, verse 23 to 27, and so on. So he started speaking, and as I was listening, he got to a place wherein he was saying we should see the belief system of Martha. And that was from where things took a new turn with me. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to share it briefly. In that John chapter 11, verse 23, it says, Jesus, verse 22. Excuse me, say, but I know that was when they, when Jesus came, when they called him for Lazarus, and Jesus arrived at the scene. He has delayed and Lazarus was dead. And now Jesus came and said, but I know that that is Martha answering now. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou shalt will ask of God, God will give it thee. That was faith, like we've been hearing from Lydia Ebon this morning and Sister Pat this morning. God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Actually, when the Lord said that, it was like saying, okay, this is my belief system in the case of Lazarus' death, that whatsoever you ask from the Lord, God is able to do it for you. But when Jesus answered, although that was a good belief system that she had, when Jesus answered and told her that the brother will rise again, she couldn't appropriate that for the present time, the now time. She had a mind on the future, which is true, which was good, but Jesus was talking about the now. And like we had, Pastor has spoken in some instances telling us, you know, pushing things forward, like, okay, the revival is coming. Oh, I'm going to have this. Oh, God is going to do this. God wants us to believe for the now situation. That was what Jesus was talking about. But because of the belief system of Martha, she couldn't comprehend that. You see? And that is our prayer for now. That the Lord would remove all the old beliefs, all those old traditions that we have in us that will not allow us to receive the present thing that the Lord wants for us. The now faith, not the future. The future, a lot of things in the future. But let us leave this now before the future. Praise the Lord. And while I was thinking about that day, my mind went to somewhere in John chapter 16. And that John chapter 16, from, I think, verse 12, Jesus was speaking to the disciples, and he told them, John 16, 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. When I got to that scripture, and I said, okay, there were a lot of things Jesus wanted to let the apostles know, but he knew that they couldn't comprehend it at that time. So he told them, I have many things that I want to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. So I was thinking, I said, yes, those things that the Lord wanted to tell the apostles, and he said the Holy Spirit will reveal them to us later because we cannot comprehend it now, like he was talking to the apostles. I said that those things would be examples of those mysteries that he said we will be discovering at the end of time, when the Holy Spirit will be opening our eyes to some new things, even though they may look different from our belief system. But they are the mysteries that the Lord has hidden. And I tag that, you know, those mysteries, I tag them the new wine. They are the new wine for this end of time. The Lord will tell us so many things, as he has promised, that we couldn't take those things at that time. But at the end, the Holy Spirit will come and begin to show us these mysteries, these hidden gems. These things will be the new wine that will be intoxicating us. Okay, let me not go ahead of what I wanted to say. Now, when that happened, and I thought about that, then I started thinking. I said, yeah, Martha claimed to believe. She voiced out her belief. But that her belief system about resurrection in the last day has become an old treasure. It has become an old treasure. It's true. It's a truth that there will be resurrection at the last day. But at that instance when Jesus was speaking, it's like that belief has become an old treasure. the new was coming to her, which she could not appropriate. Because you will notice going ahead in that chapter, after Jesus spoke what he had to say, Martha just walked away in verse 28. He said, when she had so said, she went her way. She didn't say anything again. She just left. Meaning she may be saying, well, I don't know about that, this one you are saying, I don't know about that, but she walked away. And to me, it's like she needed to take out the old belief and put in the new wine that Jesus was serving. Jesus was serving a new wine at that time, which she couldn't figure out. And what was that new wine? The new wine I found in verse 26 was what Jesus was saying. He said, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That, brethren, is the new wine in the time of Martha. And now, it is a new wine that the Lord is serving us. Jesus is serving us the new wine. What is this new wine? The new wine of not seeing death. It is a new wine. It is against all that we believe or we have heard, because like Pastor was speaking, he was showing it to us. I think in Hebrews 9:27, when they say it is appointed unto man once to die, people say those things that there's nobody that will live in this world that will not die. Everybody will die and they will do this and that. But the Lord was serving a new wine to us on the 18th of February. What is this new wine? The new wine of immortality. The new wine of not seeing death. And I wrote down, I asked myself, Maggie, believest thou this? Will you take in and drink this new wine and run with it? That question came to me and I wrote it down. And that is what I'm asking us to. The Lord has used Pastor to serve us a new wine. What we do not imagine before, what we do not expect, what is contrary to our belief system. We got to throw out that old wine, that old treasure that we thought we have had, and take in this new wine that the Lord is serving. This did something to me. And when I went through it again, I said, if you are living, Jesus said, and you believe, you will never die. Reality dawned on me. This is not spiritual now that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the physical. Physical, that you will not die physically. Can I believe this? Brethren, it is a new wine that Jesus is serving. The wine wherein, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The now new wine. It is the now faith for us at this end of time. It is the now faith. The faith of not seeing death. John chapter 11, verse 26. The faith of not seeing death. There used to be a song we used to sing. That song has just been coming to me. In fact, two songs. The first one, it says, by faith Enoch never saw death. By faith, Enoch never saw death. By faith, I will never see death. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my body. Hallelujah. I said, this is the new wine. It sounds like, what is she saying? What is this saying? What are they believing? But it's true. If we believe it, the Lord said it. He said, if you believe it, in verse 40, he said, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. We will see the glory of God. To me, that glory of God is not seeing death, being caught up alive in translation. Praise the Lord. And I quickly put it down because I didn't want to forget. It says, this new wine of not seeing death that Jesus is serving is the now faith for us at this end of time. It is the new wine that Jesus is serving. It's like the Lord has saved the best for the last. Like it happened in Cana of Galilee. The Lord has saved the best. Everybody believes death, death, death. But Jesus is saying, we will not see death if we can believe. It's the best for the last. To me, that the Lord is serving. And this, to me, is the translated faith. That is what will push us into having faith for translation. Hearing the word of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us, we climax it. You know, the headstone of it all is this issue of immortality. Immortality returns as the Lord said it. The Lord said it in 2 Timothy. Let me go there. Praise the Lord. I don't want to take too much time, but let me just try to buttress what I am saying. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Pastor read it to us too. He said, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God has a purpose and a grace in this issue of salvation that is given. And verse 10 shows us, it says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It looks like this is a hard saying, but it's true. Whether we believe it or not, the word of God is true. So why don't we believe it? Jesus has brought immortality to light. And that made me to remember Romans chapter 8, verse 11, when he said, if we believe that, let me look for it. Romans 8, 11, it says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. When we say something is mortal, I think what it means is that thing can die. Now, he said, the Lord will quicken our mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in us. That spirit that raised Jesus Christ up is dwelling in us. If we can tap to it, believing what he said in this John 11, 26, about saying, if we are living now and we believe, we will not see death. It's a new wine. We got to put it in a new wine skin bottle so that it will do us good. We latch onto this word. I know when you begin to confess what the Lord has spoken, the devil contests it. But if we hold tenaciously to what we are confessing, we will see the victory. Praise the Lord. So I told myself, this to me will give me translated faith, believing I will not die. I will live as the Lord has spoken. I received this new wine. And while I was thinking about it, there is a song we used to sing. That song came to my spirit too. The song says, we are, the song is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. where he was talking about the manifestations of the sons of God. He says, we are entering the realm where all things are possible. The headstone at last, the realm of the man-child. We are entering the realm where all things are possible. The measure of the stature of the fullness of our God. Seek, find, ask, and receive. Brethren, knock, and the door will be opened unto you. We are entering the realm where all things are possible. The measure of the stature of the fullness of our God. This new wine of not seeing death is the capstone, is the headstone at last for the believer. The believers that are living now, as the Lord said, some will not die. Let us put ourselves into it. But they will be alive, because those that are alive will be caught up. Not seeing death is a rapturing faith that will propel us into a realm that is called the realm of the man-child. That is the realm of the man-child. Romans chapter 12 verse 5. He spoke about the man-child. The man-child, the sons of God that will be manifested at the end. They will have something that others don't have. They will know something that others don't know. All these mysteries, all this new wine that the Lord will be serving us. If we remove the old wine skin bottle and we put this new wine in a new skin, it will do us good. It will translate us. So as I was thinking and singing that song since on the 18th of this month, I've been singing that song. And it began to come up in my spirit. No wonder there is a prophet of God, Brad Neil Frisbee. He was saying something. He prophesied. He said, the sons of God will be laughing in and out of church at the end of time. And I used to think it, what will be making them to laugh? In the time of calamity in the world, in the time of distress, in the time of pains and troubles and darkness, as they are praying for other people to be brought out of all these calamities, they will be laughing in and out of church. Why? What will make that happen? It is all this new wine that the Lord is serving us. When you know assuredly that you will not die, wouldn't it do something to you? Wouldn't it make you fearless? Wouldn't it make you to build yourself for whatever, knowing that? Because most of the things, like I think it's somewhere in, is it in Hebrews, that the Lord was speaking. I think Pastor read that scripture when he was talking to Hebrews 2, talking about that the Lord make himself, you know, to die for us to be delivered from the fear of death. If you know assuredly that you will not die, it is possible to live till Jesus comes. It will do something to you. And it was prophesied, we'll be laughing in and out of church. Something is making us to laugh in and out of church at the end of time. This is one of it. There is something that the Lord will reveal to us. Imagine when the apostles went with Jesus to Mount of Transfiguration and Jesus transfigured. It was only those three people that were there that saw it. The others didn't see it. What do you think will have happened to those ones? Those three that saw that. That saw Jesus exposed, transfigured before them. It will give them a new kind of faith that will be so great that others will be wondering, what do they know that we don't know? What do they see? That is what is going to happen to us at this end of time. If we open ourselves to this new wine, because they will be coming. They will be coming. This is one. And to me, it has been intoxicating me since I allowed Jesus to serve it to me and I drank it. That I, according to what the Lord has said, that liveth at this time, I'm living and I'm believing the Lord. I will not see death. Believest it thou, Maggie? Yes, Lord. I believe. Lord, I believe. In the name of Jesus, we all believe. These are the kind of revelations, revelation knowledge that the Lord will give us, that will propel us, that will give us strength. Like Elijah ate, you know? If you remember, Elijah was fed. He ate and the Lord was telling him, eat, because your journey is long. He didn't know he was going on a journey to be caught up to heaven. The Lord will be serving us some food, some new wine, that as we are opening up ourselves, removing all those of our belief systems, all those things we have known before, removing them and taking them in, it will do something in us that will push us. It will do something in us that will create that faith that is called translated faith, because we will know what people don't know secretly. We will hear what others don't know. They have not heard about it. They have not seen it. The Lord will reveal those things to us. And when he reveals those things to us, it will keep our oil intact. He said the oil of some ran out. This kind of new wine that the Lord will be serving us will not allow our oil to run out. It will not allow us to go cold. It will not allow us to miss the mark. Praise the Lord. That is what has been happening to me since I had that message, Principles of the Kingdom and Belief System. And I began to say all the old bottles, I got to crack them off and put myself in that position of the new bottle and the new wine. And there is one thing also that came to my mind. What was it? That looked to me like an example. I looked at Joshua during those days that he was in that battle. Praise the Lord. There was something that Joshua saw that other people did not see. What did he see? He saw the captain of the hosts of the Lord standing out with his sword drawn. Others didn't see it. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Others did not see it, but Joshua saw that figure. That was an exposition to to Joshua. That was something that propelled Joshua. So to me, this new wine is like that. It's like what we have not seen, we have not known, others don't see, others don't know. When Joshua saw the captain of the host standing up with the sword drawn, and he spoke with that captain, speaking to the Lord, he had the audacity, having seen that others did not see, he had the audacity to command the sun and the moon to stand still. That did something to him. That gave him a kind of faith. When this new wine begins to intoxicate us, we will begin to do wonders for the kingdom. We begin to speak things. We begin to grow in a realm of faith never known before. And having this faith, that is how we will be on fire. There are going to be things that will jolt us into readiness. There are things that will jolt us into preparation for the translation. That's the way I see it. And I've been holding and cleaving to it. That yes, the Lord is beginning to reveal. I have heard about it before, but it did not really click the way it clicked when Pastor was speaking that day. It clicked and did something in me. Have faith that what the Lord said in John chapter 11, verse 22, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. Let me go to it again. I don't want to miss it. John chapter 11. Let me see that verse. I think it's verse 26 or 25. 26. Verse 26. Think about it. Digest it. Chew on it. And believe it. Because the Lord has promised he will tell us some things at this end of time. The mysteries of the kingdom will be finished before we leave here. And he's pumping out something to us that is called translative faith. He told Joshua, upon one stone will be seven eyes, sevenfold anointing. What we give the sevenfold anointing is all these secrets that the Lord will begin to expose to us, expand to us from the word of God. They have been written there, but they have been like hiding. Now the Lord will begin to expose them, bringing them out to us. And as we are believing, we'll be changed from glory to glory. We'll be transformed, transfigured, until finally we change into what Jesus is, light, and we'll be caught up. Praise the Lord. And it led me also, I will soon finish, it led me to Romans chapter 8. And I began to read that Romans chapter 8 from verse 18. It says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, they are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. When I read that, my mind went to where Jesus said, if you believe, you will see the glory of the Lord. So I said, Lord, I want to see that glory. That's your glory that you said to Martha. I'm going to see it. I will be transformed. Praise the Lord. So I continued. And in verse 20, it says, but for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The bondage of corruption, to me, is death. Things, people die, they get corrupted, they're gone. Even things in the, everything is going through this bondage of corruption, death. Nothing lives forever, according to people. But this time, the Lord is pumping this faith to us. Let us gear up our faith, the cap of faith. Let us gear it up and begin to believe God for immortality, because it is part of the new wine the Lord is serving, the immortal substance. The Lord is pouring it now. And he said, we will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. And he said, the whole creature groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, we are groaning within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Praise the Lord. Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. This body, not spirit and soul now alone. That is why we say Jesus came for the entirety of humanity. He came to redeem our soul, to redeem our spirit, to redeem our body. Immortality clothing us is redemption of our body. That is what I have been pondering on and praying about since on the 18th, as if I've never heard of it before. This our body to be redeemed from death. And he said, if we hope for that, because he said we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for this kind of things that we do not see, that we have not known before, then do we with patience wait for it. And immediately after that, verse 25 of Romans 8, he went into, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. End of story. Praise the Lord. When I read that we wait with patience for it, and then he began to talk about the Holy Spirit, I say yes. Praying in the Holy Spirit about this matter will make me to walk into it and possess it, this new wine of immortality, of not seeing death. Because after he talked about all these things, he began to speak about praying in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit interceding for us. So the Holy Spirit will intercede for us that we make it. And we will not be, Paul was speaking about it. He said, we shall not all die. But we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Paul believed earnestly, like Pastor said, that he would not see death, but he died. So we are going to pray with the
utterance of the Holy Spirit, we are believing this thing. Oh Lord, keep us alive. That thing that quickens the mortality and throw it away and make immortality to possess us, let it come upon us in the name of Jesus Christ. That thing that will give us the translative, the anointing, the sevenfold anointing, let it come upon us. Praise the Lord. I say, Lord, give it to us. Yeah, that is it. And I'm going to pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you because you have saved the best for the last. Ah, we thank you because you love us so much. We've been praying every day. We pray, prepare us, Lord. Lord, prepare us. Make us ready for translation. Lord, give us the sevenfold anointing, the translated faith. Give us those things that will keep us on fire till you come, so that we will be part of those virgins that we go in with you. And Lord, we see you serving us the new wine. The new wine. Father, give us faith. Give us faith to believe as you have spoken. Give us faith to believe. As you have spoken in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Let us believe, O Lord, for this rapturing faith, this immortality that you are serving, this new wine of not seeing death if we believe. Lord, help us. Help us, O Lord, as you are serving this new wine here and there, here a little, there or a little. Let us align with your word. Let us see your glory, as you say in John 11:40. Let us indeed, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, let us indeed experience John chapter 11, as you have spoken it in verse 26. And also, you said that if even we were dead, those that are dead, maybe the organs in them, one is dead, something is happening in them, something is dead in them. You say you are the resurrection and the life. Resurrect whatever seemed dead in us, which they call sickness. Because when you pour this new wine into us and we drink it, you will uproot every Adamic nature of sickness, every Adamic nature of death, every Adamic nature of diseases. They will be taken away, and the quickening force of the Holy Spirit will keep us alive till you come. Lord, we believe. Lord, we believe. Be it unto us according to your word. Let us not be like Paul, confessing it and yet be cut off with it. No. But Lord, because this is the end of time wherein you are doing things that seem impossible, the realm of the man child, Holy Spirit, enable us by your spirit to keep alive and be ready and be caught up in the mighty name of Jesus. Not by power nor by might, but by your spirit. Lord, we believe. Lord, we believe. Quicken every mortality in us and turn it to immortality. As you said, you have brought immortality to light by the gospel. Lord, we receive it and we begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, by the utterance of the Holy Spirit. Those things that need to be replaced in us, as we pray in the spirit, in our closets, everywhere, you will work those things in us. You will remove that dust and you will give it glowing, glowing gold that will cause us to be ignited with you, that will magnetize us with you when you appear in the air, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we believe. Thank you so much for this platform. Thank you so much as you are distributing this wine, serving it to us. Let us drink without doubt, without unbelief, without whatever that the enemy may pose against us, in the name of Jesus. And we pray for thy servant that you are using. There is something happening in him. To me, He looks like Joshua saying something that we have not seen. As you begin to motivate him to dish out these things you are telling him in the secret, those secret gems that we eat and receive strength to go in translation, I pray that he will yield continually to you. You will remove weakness. You will remove tiredness. You will remove weariness. Every Adamic thing, you will take them out of him so that he can dish out these things more and more. Till we all come to that same level of the unity of faith as you promised. We will be fed till we get to that unity of faith from whence wonders will begin to flow and we will be cut off. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Bless this room. Increase your anointing. That one stone that carries seven eyes, let it be in this room. In the name of Jesus, giving, you said those seven eyes, they are the spirit of God. Let it dwell perpetually in this room, drawing people to yourself, furnishing people for the rapture, and giving us realm of faith never known before, that we will be manifested as the iron rod elect of God in Jesus' name. These things are wonderful for us, Lord, but we trust you. We trust you that you will help us. You will give us understanding, revelative knowledge and understanding. Thank you for hearing us, Lord, because we have asked it all in the mighty name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen and amen. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for listening. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I yield my mic. Thank you, Lady Ebon, for this opportunity. Amen. God bless us. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Maggie. Thank you for this contribution. We appreciate all the encouraging words that you have given. Yes, the principles of the kingdom. Yes, and the old wine, the new wine. And we are drinking the new wine. Amen. Thank you so much for that. Our belief system, the translative faith, is so encouraging. So we know that this is an individual race, but the Lord continue to help us to race, to run the race. You know, I was looking at the Romans chapter 8 that you read, and then it said in the, in verse, let's see, that we have to, all of this, you have to be in the spirit. If we're not in the spirit, okay, and if children are, okay, that is suffering. Okay, it says, for we live after, for if, it says in verse 13, Romans 8 verse 13, for if we live after the flesh, we shall die. If you live after the flesh, you shall die, oh. But if you, through the spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So let us live after the spirit. Let us everything be done in the spirit, so we shall live when we do that. So thank you for your admonition and for raising our faith to believe, you know, for this, for all the things that God have for us. So God bless you. Amen. Amen. Anybody else that would like to contribute or respond to what Sister Maggie have said? You can go ahead and open your mic and speak. God bless you.
Thank you.
I'll go real quickly. Good morning, Mommy Ebon. Good morning, Pastor Yaro. Good morning, brethren in the room. Good afternoon to those in the afternoon time. Thank you, Jesus. First of all, I want to say, Pastor, sir, I am joining everybody in praying that the God, the Lord God will give you the inspiration to know where to put the X this time around. We are trusting God that that problem will be resolved to the glory of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Mommy Maggie, and everybody that have shared. My goodness, you just poured down my... You took me there. You took me there. God bless you, man. That was some good word. And I'm just enough to chew this morning, but I have a few things that I've written down over the past lessons that I think this might be a good time to just share a little bit. Ah, thank you, Jesus, for translating faith. I believe because the word of God is true. I posted some of the scriptures you were saying, man. And the one that the Lord said, just in response to what you said, I say amen, man. Because the Lord Jesus said, somewhere in Matthew, I think I posted that. He said, there be some standing here that shall not taste of death till they see the coming of the Son of Man. And all those people died. So I know that Jesus was talking about some other people. Yeah, it's Matthew 16:28. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So he's talking about some people, and may God count us worthy to be among those people in Jesus' name. I want to talk about the parable of the kingdom. We've been talking about that, the kingdom of God, the parables of the kingdom. And I have been wondering, Lord, what are you teaching us? What are you trying to tell us? We know these parables, but if you're bringing it back, that means there are some things we probably missed or we need to revisit. Mommy Maggie just emphasized on some of those things we have heard before, but maybe we have allowed them to sleep because of circumstances, situations. Sometimes we allow things to sleep, or we just put them aside and we do not believe for them anymore. And God is saying, wake up, my children, opening our eyes and giving us new wine. So I give him glory. I want to just point out a few things. I remember lesson 5, parable of the kingdom, lesson 5. We talked, we dwelt on Luke 15 that day. And there were a few parables there. Pastor talked about soul winning. He went into the topic of soul winning that day. And he talked about soul winning being an art. And I said, yes, sir. He dwelt there a little bit about how we can win souls for God. Sometimes our techniques may be not so good, and therefore we do not seal the deal. I love that term. He said we should try to close the deal every time we witness to people. That means, you know, God giving us opportunity, really ministering to those people till they say yes to Jesus Christ. On soul winning, I just want to say a few things. You know, for me, for example, sometimes I'm working with people, I meet people, and I don't go ahead quickly to preach to them. I always want to allow my life to be a message to them first. And then after then, give them opportunity to ask me, oh, why are you different? Or what is it that you believe? Or then I can talk. That is my technique. I usually don't like to use the attack. But after that day, Holy Spirit begin to speak to me and say, some of you have forgotten to minister to people around you. We forget that this, the time is no more. There is time no longer. And waiting for an opportune time, that time might not come. I just had a situation. There was a girl I worked with at my job. She was my medical assistant, really. I say was, because 2 days ago, this girl was fired. Just on the spot, something happened and she was let go. And everybody was sad because she was kind of a good worker, but she had some issues, so she was let go. And when I heard that she was let go, something happened to my heart. I said, what? I was waiting for a good opportunity to preach to Andrea. Thank God. One or two times I had given her a tract. I have invited her to church. I talked to her here and there, but I never sealed or closed the deal. And I prayed that day. I prayed to God. I went to my room. I said, Lord, whew, I missed an opportunity to close the deal on this girl. She worked very closely with me. I wish I had pinned her down and ministered more to her. I wish she had given her life to Jesus Christ, because she needs Jesus badly with everything going on in her life. I just prayed for her, and I prayed that God will send her somebody else to close the deal. So I am saying this morning, and I, again this morning, the Lord brought the soul winning thing to my heart, and he's urging me to minister to people as if it was the last day I was going to see them. So I'm sharing that with us. Whenever we have opportunity, meet people, let's not wait. Tell them about this Jesus Christ. Tell them about the love of God. The world needs Jesus now more than ever. We should be soul winners now more than ever. Every opportunity. And I know there are people like that. Sister Titilayo is one. Every time, everywhere, she's bringing out tracts and preaching to people. And we need to be like that. The Holy Spirit said to me this morning, he said, pull them out of the fire, because there might not be that opportunity again to do it. We should try to be soul winners, persuasive, give them a tract, even if it's one word, two words, let us not close our mouths. Sometimes the enemy wants us to be mute about Jesus Christ. Oh, don't embarrass them, don't embarrass yourself, all these excuses. The Holy Spirit said to me this morning, okay, don't wait. Go ahead, do what you can. Give them a tract, tell them about the love of Jesus. Really pull them out of the fire, because that fire is coming. There is time no longer. We all to make it our business. Soul winning should be our business. Just as we go out to our jobs, this is a job that we all ought to be doing. I know Pastor John and Veronica are very, very passionate about that. So I just wanted to drop that. The other thing that was dropped to me that day, and it was amazing, as Pastor was ministering that day, I wrote those things down. He said those things, but I just want to reemphasize them, because they were key points to that message that day. It was the parable of the prodigal son. He was talking about that parable in that chapter again. And when he got to the brother, you know, the brother that said, huh, what's going on there? He actually gave us an illustration, a story. What's going on? What's happening in our house or something? And they say, oh, your brother came back. What brother are you talking about? And they say, oh, the one that went and sold everything and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, when the brother became jealous and he was not happy that his brother came back, and the father brought out the fatted calf and they were eating and making merry. I'm going to go there because there was a point there that the Lord drew my attention to. And he said, oh, Father, I have been with you all this time, and you never even gave me a kid. You didn't kill me anything. But now my brother has come and you are killing the fatted calf for him. And the father said unto him, everything that I have, I'm going to go there real quickly so I don't misquote it. Where is it? He said, everything that I've had has been yours this whole time. Everything I have is yours. You just didn't see it as that. You didn't take advantage of it. And the Lord said to me, okay, instead of you worrying and being angry or jealous about what God is doing for somebody else, don't even worry about it. You can, oh, it's giving me you all things. You have it. You have it. You're just not looking at it. You're just not seeing it. It says God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Take advantage of it. It says all that I have is yours. He was telling his son, this inheritance is yours because your brother has already taken his. Everything that I had, you have. You're just too busy working. You're just too busy. You're not seeing it. You're not taking advantage. You could have killed a cow and had a party if you wanted. Everything that I have was yours. And God said, he says, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is yours. And the Lord took me to 2 Peter chapter 1. And Pastor went there that day. I was like, wow, this must be God speaking to me. It says there, God has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness. Do we realize that? Are we taking advantage of that? Everything.
spirit, everything that pertains to this life and godliness, godly living, God has already given to us. But are we seeing it? Are we seeing it the way God is seeing it? And that takes me to the topic of this kingdom of God. I have been thinking, what is the kingdom of God? Pastor is, we go, we come back there. We go, we come back to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And I say, Lord, what is in this kingdom that we are missing? And a few things I am learning as we go by in this topic. So what is that kingdom? Pastor already said in the beginning, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, same thing. And I say, Lord, what are you trying to teach us? I remember one of the messages, he talked about somebody that goes to Disneyland and only stands by the door. I've been there by the grace of God. Disneyland is amazing, beautiful, and there's a lot you can do. But when we go there, when we used to go there, one day was never enough to explore Disneyland. Can you imagine somebody going to Disneyland and standing only by the door? From morning to night, you just stand by the door. You didn't go to take the rides. You didn't go to see all the characters. You just stand by the door. That's a loss. And unfortunately, that is how some of us treat this kingdom. That is like that brother of that prodigal. He's in that kingdom, oh, everything he had, but he never took advantage of it. Go to work, come back, go to work, come back. He never ate the calf. He never took advantage. He never sent a servant on errand. He never did anything. His brother that stole everything went and even came back. And he was still at that point by the door, not taking advantage of that kingdom, not benefiting from that kingdom. I have a few scriptures I'm going to share and I'm going to have to go. The kingdom of God is within you. Luke 17:20-21. The kingdom of God is within you, says the scripture. How? You may want to ask. We have him in us. We have the deity in us every day. He sleeps with us, wakes up with us. But some of us are too busy to take advantage of him, to ask him questions, to speak to him, to ask for guidance, to ask for leadership. And we make mistakes and we do things here and there of our own power when we have him within us. Luke 17:20-21, that's the first scripture. Then he also said, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Then he also said in Matthew 11:12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. And I said, God, what does this all mean? Jesus, my Savior, may he open our eyes to see him. May you open our eyes to see what he's telling us and teaching us in this series, in these parables, my brethren. Let us sit with him and let us tap into him that is within us. And let us take advantage of all things that he has given us. Everything that we need, God has given us, including the faith to go on rapture, as Mommy Maggie was saying, including the grace to live in this life, even though we are here, not to be in the world and not of this world. May God Almighty give us the opening of our eyes to see, understanding, and the grace to hear the thing that he's telling us at this time. I pray for grace for myself, for every one of us, that we will not take these things lightly. It says this kingdom, forcefully advancing this kingdom, it needs forceful people, not lackadaisical people, not people sitting, not the effeminate. He said, none of these shall inherit that kingdom. Not people that sit on their oars and just, just taking it, sarah. Forcefully, this kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. All these things that we're hearing. You think the enemy wants us to prosper? You think the enemy wants you to advance? You think the enemy wants us to increase? No. We have to forcefully take it. We have to forcefully wake up and be in this room by 5 o'clock, even when our body is hurting, we have to forcefully do the things that God is telling us to do. Forcefully preach the gospel. Take it as if the world will end tomorrow. That is what God is telling us at this time. Wake up, my brothers, my sister. There is time no longer. The kingdom of God suffered violence, and only the violent will take it by force. I will mute here. God bless you. I pray that the Lord will expand these words in our hearts, and that it will not return void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which God is sending them to us. In Jesus' name, I mute. Have a wonderful day, everybody. God bless you.
Amen. Fire, fire, fire. Yes. Thank you, Sister Julia. That was powerful, powerful share. God bless you for going back, you know, to Pastor's encouraging teaching, you know, that we should time no longer. So close the deal. Close the lead. So winning. Yes, let's close the deal. And as you were speaking, I was remembering, you know, that the Lord, you know, was ministering the same thing to me, encouraging me, because I go to the gym let's say 3 or 4 times a day, a week. And when I get there, I mean, the Lord was saying that this is the valley of decision. So many people come there. You know, there's so many rules. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't, but there's always a way out. There's a way out to can, yesterday we were all talking. People talk, you know, people talk, you know, I used to not like to talk to people, just keep to myself. And the Lord was saying, why not? They're talking, talk with them. And then find a way to, you know, put in a word for me. I said, okay. So, you know, and I would say, Lord, just lead me to the right people to talk to, you know, about you. So that, and time no longer, you can't wait. You can't wait for that luxury time that you can, you know, speak to everybody or what. So the Lord opened a way for me yesterday. She had gray hair and beautiful gray hair. And my hair is gray too. Some of it are gray. So I was showing her that this is not really, I was putting on a wig that my hair is also gray. And so some of my hair is turning gray. So I showed her a part on Facebook called Gray Hair Me. I said, I told her that I joined that group and we just show up of our gray hair. And she said, oh, that's funny. So I said, let me show you. Then I told her, do you know that in the Bible, God actually honors, the Bible honors people with gray hair. And then I took her to that. They said, so show me. I said, okay. So I show her in the scripture about, you know, gray hair. Let me show you exactly what I showed her there. It really said gray hair. It's talked about, the glory, the hoary hair. The Bible refers to gray hair as hoary head. It's a crown of glory. It's if it be found in the way of righteousness. That's Proverbs 16:31. So I shared that with her. I said, oh, I didn't know that's in the Bible. I said, yeah, it's in the Bible. But if it be found in the way of righteousness, it's a honorable thing. It's a crown of glory. And so that opened a way. And then we can develop on that, you know, if it be found in the way of righteousness. And we know the only way to be righteous is to give your life to Christ. So, and just like you said, there's no time anywhere we find ourselves, whether on the job, whether in the gym, whether in the classroom, to our students, you know, let us not be held down by the rules and the law that say you can't talk about this, you can't talk about that. Let us open our mouth and talk to them about Christ and see what God will do. So thank you so much for that encouraging message and share about closing the deal and not miss the opportunity to close the deal. God bless you, and we wish you a very good day on the job today. Anybody else that would like to share? I believe some people are waiting and say, come on, finish your talking so I can talk. Go ahead if you want to share, please. Anybody that wants to share can go ahead and open their mic and speak. Sister Petey, I was inviting you because yesterday you had said you wanted to share, and yesterday, right? Go ahead, Sister Petey.
Yes. Thank you so much for inviting me up. I was just listening and I was trying to quiet my dogs so that they would not be a distraction. But kingdom grace and peace to everyone in their respective mantles and those in the VIP lounge. I was just listening with intention yesterday as Pastor Yaddo was sharing the parable of the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And I thoroughly enjoyed Brother Victor's challenge yesterday and felt compelled to respond. But unfortunately, I was a little late and the room was closing, but I promised that I would come back and I am here. You know, we are called to be ministers of the gospel. And our engagement, it must always be intentional with purpose, not just happenstance. So my heart was just so full. And you know what? I'm just made a commitment to be steadfast in 2025. Much like the builder who constructed his house on the rock. Amen. In Matthew 7, I know that my foundation must be one of confidence in spite of circumstances, in spite of this economy that we have, or, you know, life's challenges or the storms that we encounter, because I know that God's wisdom will always sustain me. And so I have placed my complete trust in Him, for He alone is able to give me wisdom, and He upbraids it not when I need it for the day. Sufficient for the day is what He gives me. Amen. So just as the laborers in the vineyard were reminded that the last will be first and the first last in Matthew 20, I am continually reminded that God's kingdom operates on principles that often, you know, it challenges my understanding. And I just have to know that I know that His economy is different. Amen. And that true greatness is found not in status or achievements or my book sales or my platforms, but in my humility and in my service. And in this season of my life, because I'll be 70 years young, I find comfort in the word, amen, particularly Ecclesiastes 3, that there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. Each moment, whether it's of joy or sorrow, it serves as a purpose in God's divine plan. He is the master planner. And just like the parable that Jesus shared, amen, every experience that I encounter, it has and is revealing to me a deeper truth about His character and His kingdom. And so it invites me to reflect even on my own relationship with Him and seek His wisdom in just the complexities of living and this life. So I strive now to just embody the wisdom of the kingdom, much like the Good Samaritan who showed compassion and mercy. You know, His actions, they really are and have and continue to inspire me to extend grace, to extend kindness, to look beyond cultural boundaries and society's boundaries, and just to recognize the needs of those around me, period. And so I seek to be a vessel of his wisdom, sharing his understanding, his love with those in my circle of influence and those that I encounter, even in Walmart just a couple of days ago, glory to God, so that I may grow, so that we all may grow in faith and manifest his glory as the sons of God. And so I hold firmly to the promise that my latter will be greater than my beginning. And this is a confidence that I now have. It is an assurance that just stirs my spirit. Amen. And it reminds me that every challenge I face is not the end. It's not the end. It's a stepping stone towards the greater in the name of Jesus. Because just as the Father transformed the lives of those who walked with him, amen, I trust and continue to trust that he is at work in my life, that he is shaping my future for his glory. And I'm learning that every trial that I endure becomes an opportunity for growth. Just like the parable has said that the seed that must fall to the ground, it must die to bear much fruit in the name of Jesus. So I embrace the Holy Spirit's experience, amen, and his guidance. And I trust with everything that's within me that I'm capable of, that he will lead me along the right path, because his word tells me that he is the good shepherd and he knows his sheep. So, wow, in those moments that I experience uncertainty, I'm reminded of the importance of waiting on the Lord, because his timing is always perfect. And I've chosen to remain grateful, my God, because in his presence, I get my answers. In his presence, he equips me to face whatever it is that lies ahead. And he already knows what that is. Amen. So I have confidence and I have his grace in the name of Jesus. And I know that he will give me the wisdom that is needed, because his word says, if I lack it, just ask him and he gives it to me liberally without reproach in the name of Jesus. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Victor, for the challenge. Each day I breathe. Each day it presents a new opportunity to live out his word, to be the life that is the living epistle. Amen. My life read of men, as the woman of God shared, let my life be the witness. Let my life speak the loudest. Not what I say, but what you see. And you know what? I pray that it's a light. Amen. We know it's a light that cannot be hidden, that cannot be quenched. Amen. It cannot be hindered, but it's a light that will encourage others to join me on this journey of faith in the name of Jesus. And I believe that my latter days are indeed and will continue to shine brighter as they manifest the glory of God and as they are filled with his purpose in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity just to share my heart in this regards. Shalom.
Amen, Sister PD. Praise the Lord. Indeed, indeed, your latter days are going to be better than your former. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for sharing your heart out with us. We love you. You said something about you're going to be 70. Wow. When what's your birthday? I don't know. I don't think we have your birthday.
Yes, you do. You do. I put it in the chat in our wonderful room. Amen. Oh. Yes, it's May. This May on the 18th.
Oh, wow.
70 years young. Amen. And I praise God. He has indeed given me the Sarah anointing. Amen. Glory to God.
Wow. Wow. And I will be following after you on September. I'll be 70 too.
Hallelujah. Wow.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes, we're getting younger as we grow older. Praise the Lord, and we're ready to go. Praise the Lord, and we keep working in the vineyard. Amen. So it's so important that the Lord will see, you know, our life will show, you know, we show, and not what we say, but what we do. Indeed, what we do. Let us do and also show that we have Christ in us. God bless you for all the shares well taken. Anybody else that would like to share before we call it a day? Anybody else? Thank you, Sister Petey.
It's my honor. Thank you so much. Love you.
You're welcome. Anybody else? Do we have a brother to speak? Well, the ladies are speaking. What about the brothers?
Yeah, well, let me chime in here. I'm okay. A brother.
Okay, brother.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Pastor.
Okay. So, give me 1 second. All right, so thank you, Lady Ebo and everybody, for covering the room today. You know, I just couldn't do it. Well, not that I couldn't do it, but, you know, I'm still at work, and I've been at work, I don't know for how many hours, and it's definitely over 24 hours, that's for sure. You know, but stuff's been going on for some time, since last Sunday, actually, on and off. First it was hardware issues, then it was something else, then we thought we had it resolved yesterday, then you know, one thing led to another, and, you know, all of the work had to be backed out, and so it was just a lot of stuff, you know. We have these issues occasionally in my line of work. But thank God for the grace. So I told my wife this morning, I said, well, you're going to have to cover the room because, you know, I can't do it. You know, I can't even play music because the music is right here at my desk. You know, so, but I listened in, you know, I just kind of tuned out of the call. I'm actually still on the other call, you know, and trying to listen into two things at the same time in case somebody wants me to call on me there. But powerful shares this morning. Oh, my goodness. You know, and for those that shared, everybody, Sister Patricia, Sister Maggie, Sister Julia, Sister PD, Lady Ebon, everybody. Those were the ones I heard. I'm not sure if there were others, but those were the ones I heard. Powerful stuff. And I'm just so glad, you know, that you guys were able to share. One thing about the parables of the kingdoms is that Julia was saying, you know, well, what is it that God is trying to tell us? Because we go, then we come back. We go, then we come back. Well, what God is trying to tell us is what it is all about. Because that was the, you know, majority of the messages of Jesus were around that, you know, and he talked about it all the time, you know, and always talked about it. It's either he would say, what shall I liken this unto? And or he would say, well, let me, you know, kingdom of heaven is like this, and he'll bring out different aspects. He brought out, you know, the great things that we should pursue. He brought out even, you know, some of the good, bad, and the ugly in the kingdom. The dragon net, the, you know, leaven, and so on and so forth. I mean, we've read some of the parables. There are many more parables. There were some that, you know, that I was going to share today. That maybe we'll do that tomorrow. You know, powerful lessons about the kingdom of God. And every time you look at it, you know, even the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, the parable of those that received, you know, the talents, what they did with them, the parable of the, you know, the wedding feast and the wedding garment. I mean, there's just so many parables. By the time we go through this, we're going to find so many gems that God is showing us. And I love the beauty of, you know, some of the things that Sister Maggie brought out. Yeah. You know, we got to challenge some of our belief systems. You know, I love to challenge those belief systems and say, well, I mean, are you believing what it is that God said, or is it just some tradition that we are following? And sometimes we're so set in our ways, but Jesus laid it out. He said, look, every scribe that is in Israel, now these scribes, they are so set in their ways, because, you know, they're the ones that wrote the scrolls, they're the ones that interpret them, they're the ones that do all of these things. They're so set in the tradition of the fathers. But every tribe that is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like a householder that can bring out of his house treasures. At first it was old stuff, now he has new stuff. You know, so, you know, this is the new, what is the new stuff? And what are the principles? You know, one of the things I will pray and hope that we get out of this are the principles of the kingdom of God, or you can call it the ordinances of heaven. You know, if you can understand them, God said you can have dominion on the earth. If you know how it works, there are some buttons you can press, if you know how they work, that make things happen here on earth. Powerful stuff. And I pray that as we go through this, the Lord will continue to enable us to enjoy his word. And this word will be formative in our lives. You know, Paul said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. And so, you know, there's something forming in us. And it is this word that is doing it. The Holy Spirit, the word of God, is doing this for us. Praise God. On earth, he said, there are three that bear record. You know, the water, the spirit, and the blood. And we have the word of God is kind of like, you know, the water, you know, washes us, cleanses us, and purifies us. Washing of water by the word. So again, I want to thank everybody that contributed today to keep the room going. Praise the Lord. I am so proud that you all stepped up, and you all need to step up more too. You know, not only when I'm not available, like I wasn't today, but even when I'm available. You know, I love to sit back, relax, and enjoy the messages too. Praise the Lord. So thank you again, Lady Evan, for taking care of the room, and everybody for joining. God bless you. Good morning. And good afternoon, everyone. I'll yield my mic and pass it back to Lady Evan to close up.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much for that, for jumping in. One thing that I still don't, cannot understand is how somebody can work all day and all night and still be coherent in their speech. I would not be able to. If I don't have my regular sleep hours, I'll just be out of it completely. And it gets to a point, my brain just sleeps. Even if I want to do anything, I won't be able to do it. So I just want to thank God for the different kind of people that he made, because I'm not one of those people that can stay up all day and all night and work like you do. And I like thank God for your life. I pray the Lord continue to strengthen you and give you rest and find the time to rest today. Amen. Yeah, I don't know if anybody else can do that here. You can work all day and all night and still be able to talk like you just did. I will not be able to do that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So thank you so much again for jumping in and contributing again. Right. Anybody else want to say something before I close? All right. So Let's pray out. Let's pray. Want to thank God for seeing us through this morning and all the contribution. We thank God for Sister Patricia, Sister Petey, Sister Julia, Sister Maggie. And we want to thank God for the utterance that He has given us in this room and all the things that we learned today, one for another. One saint speak one to another, and a book of remembrance is written of today. And we thank God for our pastor that even came in, where he's able to admonish us, even with all that he's going through. We pray that the Lord will resolve that, and we have time to lay back and rest today in Jesus' name. And we pray that everyone that is going to work today, the Lord go with you. The Lord bless the work of your hands. And those already on their job, in other countries, maybe in Nigeria and England, the Lord be with you and the Lord bless you all. We thank God for every one of you that is here. And as we go, the Lord go with us and give us peace and rest on every side. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I'll be closing the room in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. The room is being closed. Have a wonderful morning, everyone. God bless you.